In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When St. Paul asks that some weakness of his be taken from him, he asks again and again and a third time if this, what he calls, thorn in his flesh, might be taken from him. Most of us, many of us, maybe even all of us, have something that it embarrasses us to bring to confession because it's the same thing. And we ask God to take this thing from us, as St. Paul did. St. Cyprian of Alexandria was quoting these passages from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians when he said this: there are times of weakness and temptation, and that is the time when God's strength can build in us. Because what was it that Jesus said to St. Paul? My strength grows in weakness. When we are weak, that is the opportunity for God's strength to grow in us. St. Paul was told, my grace is sufficient for you. You do not need to have this thing taken from you so that you can go out and act and live in the world without this thorn in your side. St. Paul wanted to be able to live without this temptation, without this thorn that troubled him constantly. And God said no. Pelagius wrote that this passage in St. Paul shows that God answers prayers, even though he may not answer them in the way that we had hoped that he would answer them. St. Paul received an answer. He asked that the thorn be taken away so that he didn't need to be shamed and embarrassed by the fact that, and we don't know what it is. Now we are hearing of this within the part of the letter when St. Paul is talking about his experience of meeting Christ face to face on the road to Damascus. And St. Paul is defending himself. He has been sorely provoked for some reason. And a good deal of this letter has to do with his response in light of the fact that he has been so severely provoked by someone at Church of Corinth. And he is in agony. We can hear it in his words. He doesn't want to be talking the way he is. He doesn't want to be recalling all of the things that he has been through. He doesn't want to be setting out his position of authority and what the grounds for the position of that authority is. He doesn't want to have to do that, and he is in agony. And we can hear the frustration and possibly the suppressed anger that he is going through. And it makes me wonder, might that not be the thorn that he's talking about? The way he has to struggle to deal with this agony of frustration and anger that he's constantly being provoked to because of the fact that his call as an apostle is different from the call of the other apostles. And finally, he even tells us about his experience of Christ himself on the road to Damascus. He says that he was taken up into the third heaven. Now, I've often thought, you know, if we're going to do a motion picture about St. Paul on the road to Damascus and Jesus coming to him, I'm sure that we would ignore the things that Paul actually says in this letter, and we would do something like this. Here is St. Paul in his Bible time clothing, walking along a nice first century setting in the movie, and all of a sudden there's a bright light and Jesus appears, and it's that kind of a vision. That's not how St. Paul describes it. Who knows what it looked like from the outside? Well, we do know. Nothing was seen. All we have is the word of St. Paul about what happened. And what he said happened on that road was not some kind of a movie cinematic version of things. What he said happened on that road was this. He was taken up into the third heaven. The third heaven. We may not know what the third heaven is, But it's clear from Scripture and from the understanding of those who are familiar with the Old Testament, we know what the third heaven is. There are three heavens, according to the Old Testament Scripture. The first heaven is the heaven of the birds of the air. The first heaven is the sky of this world. The second heaven is the heaven of the stars and the planets, what we call today space. And the third heaven is beyond the universe. Beyond the earth, the sky, the planets, the stars, the galaxies. Beyond. That is the third heaven. St. Paul was caught up into that heaven. And that is where he remembers having heard the words from Christ. My strength is sufficient for you. You don't need your own strength in order to be able to stand against and defeat these things that trouble you. This is your opportunity for my strength to increase in you. And if you demand that it's either your strength or you fall into temptation, then that's your choice. But the opportunity is there whenever we are weak for this third option. Not my failing or God giving me the power to resist, but as Christ told St. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Live from my strength, and my strength will increase in you, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's what St. Paul was told, and that's what we need to remember. There's been great speculation about heaven, but the scriptural understanding of heaven is different. In the book of Revelations, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the earth passed away. What does that mean? That means this earth and the sky, the heavens of the birds, passed away. And it was transformed, it was purified, it was transfigured. A new heaven and a new earth. Was all of the cosmos destroyed? We don't know that. All it says is that the first heaven, the sky of the earth, it passed away. That's a scriptural understanding of heaven. This world isn't meant to be dominated by the presence of sin and suffering and death. It is the first heaven. And according to our teaching, we can already live in the way it will be in the end time when this distorted and suffering first heaven passes away and is transfigured. We can already live today the way the saints will live in the world at the end of time. If we begin to accept advice exactly like that advice that St. Paul was given by Jesus the Christ himself in the third heaven, let's stop asking God to make us independent from him. Let's stop asking God to give us the things that we need of this world so that we can set ourselves up on a little kind of side road without him. I need this, I need that. And also, I would like to have these improvements made in my character so that I can live in some way other than living from your goodness and your perfection. God will answer that prayer. And the answer will be the same as the answer that he gave to St. Paul. No. My grace is sufficient for you. Decrease. I must decrease that he may increase. That's what we're told. That's what St. Paul was told. So when we think about calling out to the heavens for God to reach down and do something in this world that we think of as the real world, the only world, the world that I live in, the way things are, the standards that I take from the world. Let's recall this relationship to God in the world as it actually is. This is the first of the three heavens. We are at the center of the cosmos only because we are human beings. The world around us is not as it is meant to be, because we human beings are not as we are meant to be. But we can be as we are meant to be, because there is one who is as we are meant to be, and that is Jesus the Christ. We can live his life. In humility, we can live the life of a saint. Maybe not every moment, and then maybe not every day. Maybe not all of the time, but it is, after all, the only real life that we have to live. It is the life that we are created to live. So let's readjust our sense of the reality of things and realize that this is how things are. God's grace for us to live from Him, through Him, in Him, and with Him is sufficient. My strength increases, Jesus said, in weakness. And whenever we are weak, rather than asking for God's strength to enable us to go on without Him, let us take the opportunity to let God's strength increase in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.